The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So for today, it's a little bit loud, and I wonder if we can turn it down a little bit. So it's a little bit loud for me. So I don't know. Let's see, is that okay with all of you? You can hear? Yeah? Okay, perfect. So I would like, I'd prefer to hear your questions. Anything that you want to have us discuss here, rather than me just giving one of these Wednesday morning monologues.
Could you talk a little about balancing relaxation with alertness?
Balancing relaxation with alertness, that's a very good one. Because many people associate meditation with relaxation, getting calm, but it can be overdone. And if you only focus on being calm and relaxed, you'll fall asleep, you'll become a couch potato, you'll be a blob on the floor. You need to have some, not only alertness in the mind, but also a certain physical alertness, a certain kind of strength in the body and presence in the body. And so how to... So the balance between energy is the usual balance between relaxations, have energy, but do you use the word alertness? So that's we have to monitor ourselves to kind of see the effect that relaxation has on our alertness, our clarity of mind, the ability to really stay in the present moment in a clear way, and then monitor that for ourselves and see if we're relaxing in such a way that we're getting dull and the mind's drifting off. Then either stop relaxing, maybe you're over-relaxed, sit up straight, or brighten the mind, bring more energy into the mind, maybe with the mental noting that people can do, maybe with kind of a renewed interest in what's happening in the present moment, some curiosity. So those are the first things that come to mind. Do you want to ask more based on what I said, or did it address kind of your, you feel like it addressed the topic, or something you're working on? Because you get how do you get imbalanced yourself?
It seems like my body associates relaxation with the drowsiness, so I would like to be relaxed, and yet also I find that when I am succeeding at that, my concentration kind of starts to go away.
Uh-huh. Do you usually sit in a chair when you meditate?
No, I sit in different ways.
Because it can be when people use a backrest, it tends to reinforce the wrong kind of relaxation. Because it's really nice meditation if you're able to keep yourself upright. So there's this upwelling energy that there, and then this upwelling presence, then you relax into that. So that's one thing to consider. Do you know why do you relax?
Because I feel like I'm supposed to.
Yeah, so you might stop relaxing. Because only relax if you're tense in unuseful ways. If you don't notice any tension, then maybe don't try to relax. Just be content to sit upright and then do the practice. Some people do meditation, like follow the breath or something, as a way to kind of comfort themselves or kind of soothe themselves. And of course, if sometimes there's a need for comfort and soothing, But if that's the association with what meditation is, that puts people to sleep. Please.
So, I have a question. It may be a little bit philosophical, but to be present and receptive in each moment, but does Buddhism posit a purpose or a North Star or something that's overarching, perhaps?
Rather than just accepting the present moment as it is.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. The simplest way to say it is that the North Star is not to suffer. And if you're really present in the moment, and kind of in a general way are suffering, then you really kind of need to develop the concentration, develop the mindfulness, because there's layers and layers of ways in which we suffer, and that many people suffer unconsciously, and so carry with it for decades within them, and sometimes there are people who do kind of a broad acceptance of life, sometimes with a spiritual philosophy that holds it up, or even a very rich and meaningful spiritual sensibility about being connected to something pretty wonderful. There's a kind of a degree of not really tuning into where the tension, the suffering that might be underlying. So the North Star is to develop the kind of strength of mindfulness, of concentration, so that we can ferret out the ways in which we cling, hold, resist, shut off, turn away, and with the ultimate goal, the simple goal, to be free of suffering. How does that sound to you?
I think for me, one of the knots is then I feel that, is that only for me? Or is that for the world,
uh-huh.
for other people?
Yeah, it's a good question. Do you have an answer? Oh, you might consider it. You might think about it deeply and the implications of it. That if you don't suffer, how do you think you'd live your life? And would that be for yourself only? Would that help you serve other people more? And it's a great question to explore for yourself. And what I can tell you, it doesn't help anybody else for you to suffer.
I've been recently dealing with a lot of loss in my life, and I go along and I meditate and practice, and all of a sudden something will just hit, you know, with a loss that I feel like, I don't know, I guess I'm just, are there any tips for when you're meditating with grief and loss to bring back in? Because what happens for me is my mind starts, you know, going off about what if I lose this person, what if, you know, I get very out of the present moment,
yeah.
and find that there's a lot of anxiety around that. And I'm just wondering if you have tips for dealing with impermanence with meditation. Sometimes I feel like if I sit, I'm going to feel worse.
Yeah. The simple thing is to trust your heart, not your mind. And your heart is always in the present moment. It's always the present, what's happening here, the feelings, the emotion. And the heart, for me, is the whole body. So it's going to stay there and let that process it, be with it. It's the mind that will get you in trouble around this. And even if the heart breaks in the process of loss and the grief, it needs to break. It needs to have the grief. It needs to have the feelings come out. And chances are it's that you get in trouble around grief when you start thinking too much about it and you spin out. So use the mindfulness practice enough not to spin out, but to stay with what actually is going on in your heart and trust your heart and see what happens. And it might not be pretty, but it's better than the spinning out. And the heart knows how to heal. The heart will find its way. Yes.
I'm actually fascinated by the last thing you said about heartbreaking, and I'm wondering to what degree how to take those metaphors or...
How to take those metaphors?
I'm trying to kind of wrap my brain around something. I was told the other day that I gave away my heart to my children. And
wow, that's a strong thing.
Strong thing.
Yeah. And, so you have nothing more to give them now.
And exactly that's what was told to me, that I should reclaim my heart so I can give them love out of my heart. But my question is basically, what are those metaphors of heart? It's so much and...
So what are those metaphors of heart to me? The mind as a metaphor is something for the thinking. When we spin out from thoughts and thinking about the future and what this means and what's going to, and how this is going to be, that can be a place that we lose touch with ourselves. The heart is connected to our present moment experience as it's felt, rather than how it's interpreted or understood. And there's a way of being relaxing, except for you. There's a way of relaxing and settling, and allowing what's in the body, but especially the feelings in the body, the emotions in the body, make them space, make room for them, and let them be processed. Let them. All emotions are processes rather than things, and they want to move. They want to go through us, and. And so the idea is to trust the heart, trust the capacity to be present in our feelings without overlaying resistance or ideas or interpretations. Kind of like making a lot of space in the mind. It's kind of like making the mind, again, the metaphor is not so good, but make awareness have lots of space. And as awareness has lots of space, then allow the feelings and the body sensations of the present moment to come forward, to come out. And what you'll find is you'll get replenished. You haven't lost your heart. You haven't given it away. It's impossible to give it away. But it might have gotten numb. You might have lost touch with it. You might not know what's going on in here. You might be exhausted. You might be afraid of what's in there. But if you sit there and become quiet and make lots of space for what's in there to come forward, in an environment where it's safe for you to do so, and that's what meditation is meant to be, then you might be able to get to reclaim what's there or discover what's there and kind of allow some of the hidden voices to finally come forward. And then you'll have more to offer your kids. Does that make sense? Does that answer the question well enough? One of the things I've learned from this practice is how deeply we can trust. This is a little bit kind of strange teaching in Buddhism has about not-self is also a teaching about that we in the control tower, you know, as the agent who takes care of things and runs the show, doesn't really know how to take care of things that well. But that there's inside the human being, there's tremendous amount of wisdom and a tremendous amount of natural processes operating that if we can learn to create the safe environment for it, tremendous resources are available inside to let it bubble up. Coming and meditating, I think, is a great thing for you if you feel like you've lost your heart and start listening for what's there and make space for what's there. And it might at first be very small little things, or it might first be big things. And like coming in a place like this, this is a fine place to cry. Because a lot of people here understand that that's sometimes part of the freeing up what's in there is to let the tears come. Rather than a sign of going backwards in meditation, it can be going forward. You think it answers your question? Great.